Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
6:14, got some fog out there. Be careful if you run into any lights on. No brights. Got to have the no flashers on unless you're stopped. Keep that in mind. It's illegal to do that. 62 degrees right now, going up to 81 today, 82 tomorrow. We get to the 70s by Sunday. And then Thanksgiving, they're thinking now, a week from now, might be maybe lows in the 50s, highs around the mid-60s or so. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Get the latest on what's going on in Washington, Congress, polls, etc. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. What has been the fallout from the government shutdown? Is it too early to tell, or do we know who eats the blame on that?
Well, it looks like President Trump and the Republicans took a little bit of the blame, but this kind of thing generally wears out pretty quickly. So if you're looking at the polls right now, I have Real Clear Politics up on my computer at the moment, and President Trump's approval rating, as usual, is net negative. He's looking at a 43.5% net favorable, 52.4% net unfavorable. If you average out the polls, there's a little bit of a downward trend, but not all that much. This is pretty consistent with his overall polling. So there's been maybe a little bit of a downward trend, but not all that much. And I think by the time we get to the midterm elections, this will all be kind of noise with the shutdown. And there will be so many events between now and the election that the shutdown will just have been noise in the background.
President Trump saying you're going to see prices come down soon on Fox. Fox also did a poll that shows that people are saying that prices are going up on groceries, et cetera, and a mixed bag as to whether they blame him or not. Is it ultimately the economy, stupid to use the phrase that's often used when it comes to the midterms?
The economy is the biggest predictor of election results. But of course, when we say the economy isn't one thing, right? So the economy has a lot of different aspects to it, and there are different ways to measure the economy. So when you say prices, we're talking about inflation. Mm-hmm. And inflation is really tricky when you get into measurement. So the prices of different goods will change at different rates. Prices don't come down, right? And one of the things that we know as we get older is the price of most things will go up. and they will go up at different rates. So if you track inflation over time, you'll look at something like CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and then you'll sometimes see what's called core CPI, which strips out food and energy because food and energy are a lot more volatile. Now, inflation is basically just positive. So the price of nearly everything will just go up. So prices are not going to come down. We've seen the price of, for example, eggs go down because if you remember last year, the price of eggs spiked because of an epidemic with chickens. But prices are not going to come down because prices just don't come down. Prices go up. That's what inflation is. Now, what's happened is the rate of inflation has slowed, so prices aren't going up at as fast a rate, but prices are still going up. And as people are concerned about different aspects of the economy, what tends to happen is the president takes the blame when people feel bad about the economy. The president tends to get the credit when people feel good about the economy. How much of an influence the president has over the economy is a little bit tricky because the president doesn't just sit at the center of a control room and press buttons and flip the switches. But the president tends to get the credit or the blame anyway.
We hear so much about this K-shaped economy, and I think economically it's like healthcare or whatever. If it's working for you, then you're happy. If it's not working for you, then you're not. Where do the numbers play with this K-shaped economy, or how do they fall with who's doing well and who's not? Do you know?
Yeah, this is actually really misleading. You hear a lot about kind of the disappearing middle class. And if you actually track the economy over the long term, and if you look at income over the long term, what's actually happened is really fascinating. So if you look at what we might call a middle income group, it has in some ways shrunk. But what's happened is a higher proportion of the country is making more money in inflation-adjusted terms. So the country is really getting richer. So what's happened is you've got a proportion of the country which is at a low income level that stayed relatively consistent over the last bunch of decades. You can go back to like the 1960s. So that stayed relatively consistent. The middle category measured in constant dollars, inflation adjusted dollars, that has decreased. But the reason it's decreased is that a higher proportion of the country in inflation adjusted terms is making more money. So the country is actually getting richer. So the idea of a shrinking middle class and everybody getting poorer, that's not true when you look at income and inflation-adjusted terms. It's also important to address this phrasing: is the economy working for you? When you speak like that, you're talking about the economy like it's an actor, like it's this thing that acts on you, as opposed to you as an actor who makes decisions for your own life. It shifts the responsibility, and the whole point of capitalism is that you take actions which determine and you determine the course of your own life. So what's happened over time, over the last bunch of decades, is that Americans are getting richer, which is why the middle income group has shrunk. And that's actually kind of what we want.
But when it comes to is the economy working for you, however you define it, we should say your lifestyle then is working for you, not the economy, because maybe people use the words interchangeably. When I'm saying economy, what I'm trying to say is, are you happy with your lifestyle? Do you feel as though you're making enough money? Not that any of us ever feel that we are, but it comes to, I guess I'm confused, Professor. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with who's getting richer, because I keep seeing numbers that say the prices are going up and people can afford less and less, but maybe I have that mistake. And Justin Buechler is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. 620 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, about the economy and the way people are viewing it, the latest polls, et cetera, and how people view the economy. So, Professor, you are saying the country is richer than we've ever been. Is that right? Do I have you right there?
Yeah, that's right. This is sort of a complication of prices going up. So we do have inflation, but we also have incomes going up. So if you're just looking at prices, then every time you buy something, you get an impression of what's going on based on the price and nominal dollars that you pay for a particular good. But if your income is also going up, then it is affordable for you to buy that. So right now I'm looking at a graph from an economist named Mark J. Perry. So in 2023, 40.9% of U.S. households made $100,000 or more. So if you go back to 1967, only 13.1% of U.S. households made the same amount.
And what was the current number, Professor, you said?
In 2023, it was 40.9% of U.S. households made $100,000 or more. Go back to 1967, and it was only 13.1%. So what's going on is American households are getting richer and richer. Now, at the same time, prices go up. So if you're just watching the prices as they go up, then you'll get an impression of what's happening economically. But if you're making more money, then you can also afford to pay those higher prices. So it's this complicated mess of trying to study the economy when you have incomes going up, you have prices going up. So you have a bunch of different ways that you can look at the economy. You can look at inflation. You can look at employment. You can look at real disposable income. The economy is not just one thing. It's a bunch of different factors that all interact with each other, which is why we have to study the economy by studying all of the different measures together as they change together.
Who is more likely to vote, if there have been any studies on that? Is it people that are doing well economically or not doing well economically?
So the statistically, the two best predictors of voter turnout are age and education. The older you are, the more likely you are to vote, and the more educated you are, the more likely you are to vote. Now, education also predicts income, and age predicts income. So income is a predictor of vote choice, but it's kind of a spurious predictor. Now, what used to be the case was that people who are wealthier voted Republican. And in 2024, that flipped. The top income category in 2024 was more likely to vote Democratic. So 2024, that did flip.
Thank you, Professor. Any final thoughts?
Not in 10 seconds, so
got
we'll
you.
Leave it at that.
All right, we got 30, but that's good. Thank you, sir. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. We'll take a break. We come back talking to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Get you ready for Thanksgiving, as we normally do every Thursday, but this being the week before Thanksgiving, that's why we're getting ready for that. And I got my Tommy Top 5 going on today. The question is something specific that people do that makes them a jerk. So far, I'm getting some interesting answers. I'll share them with you when we come back. I'll give you the top five at 9 o'clock. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Thursday morning, November 20th, 1 week out from Thanksgiving. And what better time to talk to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Morning, Mike. How you?
Man, I am great. I'm getting ready to head up to Monroe. I'll be talking to the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, of course. About all things agriculture, we'll be talking a lot today about seafood. Everybody getting ready for their seafood gumbo along with their turkey. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be talking Thanksgiving and agriculture and all things in between.
Tell me about...
We're going to have a real good time today.
Tell me about the Trump administration and some crop disaster assistance for farmers.
Yes. So they've just announced Supplemental Disaster Assistance Program, and that is going to help with some of the disasters from 23 and 24. And there's going to be, you know, the first phase, and they tell the farmers now to contact the Farm Services Agency. And then there's going to be a second phase that's going to come in. Stage two would be for what we call shallow losses, those things that weren't covered under their crop insurance. And then also looking at additional things that were not covered by crop insurance, such as quality damage to products that were stored in warehouses, damages on specific crops that were not covered by crop insurance. That will be the second phase of that. And then also looking at assisting any dairy farmers who had to dump milk. And so you're looking at about $16 billion. And then that's on top of the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, which was about $12 billion. The overall number that they're trying to reach to get our farmers back into, you know, basically where they can pay their bankers off this year is around $40 billion. We do expect there will be another round of payments to try to close that gap, looking at the effects of the economy over the past year and what we call in the profit gap. In other words, looking at how much they lost per acre and trying to get closer to break even, because the main thing is by January, we've got to be able to go back to the banks, the farmers do, and borrow more money to replant. That's the only way it works. And so a lot of that's going on, and the farmers are very thankful because when the government was shut down for months, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. The farmers couldn't even go into the Farm Services Agency and pay the crop loans. Mm. And they couldn't take out any bridge loans. And all of that now is in motion. And I know the FSA, and I talked to Craig McCain, who's the state director of FSA, yesterday. He said, they are drinking water out of a fire hose, but they're swallowing quickly. And so they're working very hard and trying to help people, especially, you know, when there's people that, quote, fell through the gaps, if there was a mistake on the application or if something was going on, but to try to stand our farmers back up because, you know, our banks are telling them, you got to get right, or we can't give you another farm loan.
Drinking water out of a fire hose, but what, swallowing quickly?
Rick, quickly, drinking as much as we can, as fast as we can, right? And so that we can get our job done, yes, yes.
Tell me about, I wanted to get to this, Mike, as a veterinarian, things that you should not give the dog during the holiday season. I guess I've never had a cat, so I don't know if you feed a cat from the table or not, but things that you should never give a dog.
No, you know, don't give that dog, you know, the turkey leg bone when you're done. Don't give them any pork chop bones when you're done. You know, don't put the carcass of the turkey outside for the dog, and especially don't give them any chocolate candy or things. You really need to try to keep, you know, your pets, especially your dogs, on the normal, regular diet. That's a big deal. And also for the holidays, you know, watch out for the stress factor in some of these animals. Don't go lock them up just because you got people coming over and just ignore them because they can get very upset. And then when the fireworks start going off, you may want to bring them inside, you know, and comfort them so they don't really, you know, get stressed out. And the cats can get stressed out. They'll go hide under the bed, you know, but the dogs take it and it can be, you know, really upsetting to them. And then that can further upset the diet. The main thing is keep them on their dog food. Look, if you sneak them a little bit of, you know, a little bit of meat, and I'm telling you just a tidbit or a cracker, that's one thing. But don't, you know, just because, you know, you're eating all of this, you know, wonderful rich food, don't give it to them because it can really make them sick. Chocolate is bad. Chocolate's always bad for animals. Don't give them any of that. But don't give them anything with sharp bones and that sort of thing in it. And we'll be okay.
And you can't expect them to act the same when you got a house full of strangers, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. They are professionals. You know, they know how to go and see and roll those eyes up and everybody give them a tidbit. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon they got an upset stomach, right?
Right.
But the worst thing is if you're having poultry, you know, a chicken leg, a thigh leg, if they swallow it and it can get stuck in the throats, I've extracted those from animals' throats, or those pork chop bones or ham bones with sharp edges. They don't need that. If the dog's going to chew on a bone, go down to the feed and seed or wherever you get that great big smoked beef bone, and they can chew on that, right? But you got to be careful with cut bones with sharp edges.
All right, Mike, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 6:50, 10 till 7, talking to Mike Strain, our friend, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, as we do every Thursday. Time now for traffic on WWL. All right, 6:57, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker on his Thursday morning, November 20th on WWL, talking to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, let's talk about mental health in the holidays, because that is important at this time of year.
It is very important, and a number of people are really, really stressed. And so what's very important to recognize the signs, and the signs could just be someone is just, they're not talking, they're acting different, something's not right. You're down at the coffee shop, and you see, you know, Farmer John sitting across the table, and he's just by himself, kind of looking down at his coffee. Sit down and visit with them. Talk to them, and if they need help, you know, encourage them to call. There's all types of hotlines, But mental health is important. And remember, you know, some family members, you know, they can feel ostracized for whatever reason, or they feel alone, or some people are just alone. So, you know, just include them, and, you know, it's the right thing to do, and include them into your conversation and check on them, and to make the holidays joyous for everyone. Because, again, mental health, depression is a big deal, and it generally surfaces more around holidays because of all the things going on or in that particular person's life, the things that are not going on that other people are enjoying.
Mike, let's talk about prices of turkey and preparation hints and safety and so forth.
Well, turkey has went up in price. You see different reports. However, you can find some deals. There's a deal, for instance, at Rouse's. You buy a Hormel ham and you can get a free turkey, or you can get money off the turkey shop. Average price is around $1.47, $1.49, and you're not going to find that 20-pound butterball turkey. The biggest one that we could find was 17.5. But when you get that big turkey, listen, on Saturday, you've got to get it out of the freezer and put it into the refrigerator. Don't wait. And if you wake up Wednesday and say, oh, my gosh, the turkey's still in the freezer, you're going to have to do the cold water method. You can go to USDA, and you can look up all those different rules. But it takes about 24 hours for every 5 pounds of turkey. But, again, good, safe handling practices. And, again, we'll have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mike. We're going to talk to you next Wednesday because we're going to be off on Thanksgiving. So we'll talk to you then. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Safe travels to Monroe, beautiful area of the state. I know you're going to enjoy it. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to the state treasurer, John Fleming, about some unreturned property, billions of dollars in unclaimed property. We'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, about the budget mess and some more. So stay tuned here on WWL. All right, here we go, 7:10 on this Thursday morning, and my little survey I'm conducting here, Tommy's top five. I'll give you the top five answers at 9 o'clock. What do people do that make them jerks? And some of the texts that I'm coming in, criticize, but no ideas of their own. Don't you hate that person in a meeting?
Yeah, sometimes, no, and I'll admit it. I've been that guy.
Not me. This stinks, this stinks, this stinks, that stinks. Do you have any ideas of your own? No. Constantly interrupting, not listening, arguing for arguing's sake. Somebody said being cheap. So text me your response here, 504-260-1870. We'll give you the top five when we come back. When we return, we'll talk to... Actually, I think right now we're going to talk to Kristen Robinson, who is the Manning Family Children's Vice President of Marketing and Institutional Advancement, to talk about the Manning Family Parade that's coming up, the Christmas Parade. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
I'm good. Tommy, how are you?
I am okay. Tell me about the big parade.
Yeah, we're just a couple of weeks away, Saturday, December 6th. This will be our fourth annual Manning Family Children's Holiday Parade, which has become really a beloved family tradition here in New Orleans to get the holiday season started. So we can't wait.
Tell me about when it starts and who, where do you see it and so forth, all that stuff. Who's going to be in it?
Yeah.
So
the parade, all kinds of things. So the parade rolls at 11 a.m. and it follows a traditional downtown route through the heart of the French Quarter. So it starts right in the French Market, goes right in front of Jackson Square and Oscar Dunn Park, takes a turn on Canal Street, where that we've got, you know, tens of thousands of parade goers lined up, which is super amazing, and then ends in the heart of the warehouse district. What you can expect to see, we have more than 30 holiday-themed floats. What is unique to our parade is in New Orleans is that we have the high-flying balloons, which is my favorite part. That is similar to what you might see in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We have Santa himself, of course, and then here in New Orleans, we have to have our beloved marching bands and dance crews, so they'll be out in their festive holiday spirit as well.
We're proud to be a part of that, as well as the Radiothon. Tell me about that's coming up, please.
Yeah, so December 3rd through 5th, we kick off really the Light Up the Season campaign, and Odyssey has been an amazing partner since the beginning. This will be our fifth annual radiothon, and those 3 days of telling our story and helping to raise vital funds for the hospital will lead us right up to the holiday parade. So it's really, you know, 4 continuous days of fun and celebrating this incredible community that has done so much for Manning Family Children, telling the stories of our incredible patients and families and the care teams that are here delivering life-saving and life-changing care every single day in our hospital. And, you know, we invite folks to give whatever you can this holiday season. Our caregivers never stop. There's kids, you know, receiving care throughout the holiday season, and at Manning Family Children's, our answer is always yes, regardless of a family's ability to pay. So every single dollar makes a difference in helping us continue our mission.
Well, we're looking forward to it. 16 days, 3 hours, 46 minutes, 30 seconds till the parade on December 6th at 11 o'clock, the 4th annual Manning Family Children's Holiday Parade and the Radiothon before that. Thank you, Kristen. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Tommy. We'll see you soon.
You bet. We'll take a break, come back, talk to John Fleming about unclaimed property in Louisiana here on WWL. Got some fog here or there. Be aware of that and be careful. Got some money for you, too, and it's... You know, often we hear that there's no such thing as a free lunch, and whenever anybody offers you money, you got to look out because there's something on the other end. But in this case, that's not necessarily true. Dr. John Fleming joins us now, Louisiana State Treasurer, to talk about over $1.4 billion that's waiting in unclaimed money. How you doing, Dr. Fleming?
Hey, Tommy. Great to be with you this morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about this money.
Well, you see, anytime money is left unattended in an institution, let's say a bank, or let's say a refund that gets bounced back because the address has changed, or maybe there was an investment that was given to you when you were a child or a young person that you didn't know about or forgot about, these all have to be, by law, turned over to the state treasury, and we put it in what's called unclaimed property. It's really unclaimed cash.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we have a liability of $1.4 billion. 1 in 6 Louisianans are owed money in unclaimed property, and it's easy to find. All you have to do is go to lacashclaim.org, lacashclaim.org, or you can just Google our website, the Treasury, State Treasury of Louisiana, and find a button there. And you put a little bit of your personal information in there, not much. And bingo, either you or your business may actually be owed money, and we'll send you a check in pronto.
That's it. That's all you got to do. Fill out the form, and you get your check.
Exactly. Now, sometimes it gets a little more complicated if it's larger sums, and maybe there's an inheritance involved. There could be other heirs that we have to research. There are things like that. But most people, I think our average return is about $500.
Wow.
And most people can get that pretty easily. However, we've given away as much as $220,000. And in a couple of cases, we had one $13,000 and one $20,000 where they wouldn't call us back. They thought it was a scam. And finally, we were able to prove to them that we really did owe them money and the check was waiting on them. So I presented it to them after showing them in person my credentials as treasurer.
That's why I started by saying sometimes you think whenever somebody offers you free money, it's not true. But when it comes from the treasurer of the state of Louisiana, I think you can pretty well figure that it's reputable, right, Doc?
Well, you can take it to the bank, Tommy.
There you go. You can take it to the bank.
And let me say this. We also, once or twice a year, and we did this last June, we do a data match with the Department of Revenue. And we sent 143,000 checks out amounting to $34 million to people across Louisiana. And believe it or not, some people don't deposit their checks. So we urge people, if the check is coming from the state treasurer of Louisiana, you can take it to the bank.
Boy, you can't even give away free money these days. 7:20, we'll take a break. Pick it up with Dr. John Fleming. Well, Doctor, you know, I always said that I could go to stand on a corner of where we are at Poydras and Magazine and hand out $100 bills. Half the people are going to say it's not enough. The other half are going to say you're discouraging people from working. So you can't really make anybody happy ever. Dr. John Fleming, our guest, Louisiana State Treasurer, will pick it up. We come back talking about $1.4 billion in unclaimed property and how you can go to claim it. We'll pick it up when we return. Right now, traffic on WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. John Fleming, Louisiana State Treasurer, about unclaimed property. And I went to unclaimedproperty.la.gov and put my name in, and I'm owed about $100-something. So I'm going to go ahead and claim that. Dr. Fleming, it's not just for individuals, though. It can be businesses or organizations, right?
Absolutely. We just presented a check to Southern University, and I believe we found another funds that are owed to Southern University. So it can be a business, it can be a school, a college, institution, anything where or any entity that actually has an account any place theoretically could be owed money.
Does that money stay in a treasury forever, or is there a time where it reverts to something else?
Well, first of all, the law firewalls that money such that the governor and the legislature cannot touch it. And so if you don't claim your money, then it'll stay there until an heir claims it, which could be 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. So, any investment or interest return is turned over to the general fund. So if you have $500 today, it's going to be $500 20 years from now. So that's why it's good to go ahead and get it off the books.
Look, I know you didn't come on and talk about this, but you've got a fascinating story, a personal story of and I'm a firm believer, doctor, and it's not what you achieve it's as much as it's what you overcome. And just give me a little brief history of your life, if you would, because I think you got a great story.
Well, thank you. I was born in a working-class home. My dad was a lineman for the power company, and we struggled at times financially, but my mother became disabled. I had two younger siblings, and just before I left for college, my dad suddenly died at age 43, and I didn't know if I would ever reach my goal of being a physician one day, but the good Lord saw to it that I could work odd jobs and you know, get a few loans and scholarships. I made my way through college, and then went on to medical school, and then served in the United States Navy as a naval physician for 6 years.
So what does that say for people that think they don't have a chance in this country?
Look, this is the best country in the world. I mean, the potential for upward mobility, the potential.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I tell all young people, you can be whatever you want to be. You just have to be focused and work towards your goal. You can overcome any kind of financial barriers that may occur. Of course, we're not all good at everything. We have certain things that we're all have certain tools for or capabilities, and you should always focus in things you like and things that you can do well. But this country's been very good to me. God has been very good to me, and I'm just so blessed and pleased.
Right there with you, and I think we've all had access to some things that, you know, we took advantage of, a little hint from this person, a little hint from that person. I just love to hear those stories so people open themselves up to those kind of things and realize that it can be achieved. It's not easy, but it can be achieved. Thank you, Dr. Fleming. Appreciate it. Have a good day. And happy Thanksgiving. You bet. Go to unclaimedproperty.la.gov. You might have something else to be thankful for. We'll talk to Joe Geruso when we come back about the city budget right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozen. 7:44, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. It's been a heck of a month, huh, Joe?
Had a few things going on, Tommy.
Yeah, a couple of things. Tell me, you know, yesterday they told me that you guys had approved the bond issue, which I didn't go crazy about because I figured if you didn't approve it, that would have been the real news, like the old thing about when a man bites the dog, right?
That's right. Yeah, it isn't the real news, but it is a source of comfort, I think, to city employees. Obviously, without that revenue anticipatory note called a RAN, we wouldn't have been able to pay them. So for their sake, I'm glad we got it accomplished.
So now does that mean you're good through the end of the year or not quite yet?
No, we are good through November, December, and I think also January. That was the whole goal, is because we knew we get property tax receipts and more sales tax receipts in. And so this should smooth it out towards the end of the year, the beginning of the next year, and then we should be in good shape to start. And then remember, at the State Bond Commission, Mayor-elect Moreno said we're probably going to have to do this for a lower amount, maybe next July, August, or September.
Say that part again, Joe.
Yeah, so it looks like there's going to be another cash crunch later in 2026. That's what her financial analysts are projecting. So we will take out and deplete this revenue anticipatory note, pay off everybody by May or June, maybe even earlier. Mm-hmm. And then because of cash flow issues, we're likely to have to take out another note later next year.
And you can't do it by cutting spending alone.
No. I mean, there's going to be so much spending that gets cut just to make this budget work at the very beginning. And the other issue, too, is really this is how much money you have in your bank. And because those funds are so depleted, we both have to put enough money into our checking account. And what they're thinking is by third quarter next year, there just won't be enough cash on hand. So we have to go through this exercise one more time.
And the state is aware of this, or you'll let them know then, or what?
No, the state is very aware. Oh, I think we put all our cards on the table. And look, it's part of the reason why you saw the questions that we got at State Bond Commission. Mm-hmm. And they're fair ones, and ones that if you're a legislator who appropriates money, you want to make sure that you're doing all of the right things and not just giving over cash. And to your point, I think the cuts that need to be made and the things that Helena is planning on doing will show them this progress that's being made as we go towards the next revenue anticipatory note in 2026.
I see a quote from her saying, "It's all a choice of horribles. My options at this time when it comes to the budget are not great, but we're going to make it work." Again, Joe, what is that likely to look like to the people either that live in New Orleans or that visit in terms of these cuts?
Yeah, I mean, Helena and her team are most concerned about public safety issues. And I say that broadly because I think people hear that and they think police It also means Department of Public Works and safety and permits and those type of departments. So the best I can say is those core city services that affect quality of life, I know, are the ones she and her team are working the hardest on preserving. And then there's just going to have to be cuts in other areas. And right now, I find myself telling everybody no. And it's a tough situation to be in because I have other elected officials, we have colleagues who want things, and there just isn't the money right now to do everything everybody wants or has grown accustomed to.
What about on the other side of it in terms of increasing revenues?
Yeah, this is what I sort of think is I think the public would expect that we really dig in and cut as much as possible before you start raising revenue. I know there's a lot of skepticism when you talk about raising revenue and you're just looking for new taxes and have you been good stewards? And I think what makes the most sense as much as possible is to make the necessary cuts that have to be made first, sweep in as much money as you possibly can to look at every figurative couch cushion that there is and make sure there isn't money there, and then come back and have those conversations. And look, one of the conversations eventually is going to have to be about the sanitation fee. We haven't raised the fee since 2011. And right now, the city is in the red about $30 million a year. You just can't keep on doing that year after year after year. But I don't think the time is right now. The time is in the future when you've taken those necessary steps beforehand.
But that to me would be low-hanging fruit where, well, it's costing us this much to get the garbage picked up and you're paying X amount, so that puts us in a negative situation, so somebody's got to make that up, right?
I agree. And look, it's all a balance. You're right that we're in this big deficit now because of the new contracts, which need to be executed, and obviously the world has changed in the last decade and a half. At the same time, I think you just have to balance the realities of people feeling like they're paying more and getting less service. And so they want to see, like, how are you cleaning up your own house first before you're coming to me to ask for more money? And I think that's a perfectly fair feeling and something that is going to be heavily examined.
But one day a week trash collection, that's the new normal, right?
Well, I think, and again, I don't want to speak for Helena. I tell people all the time I have neither the express nor actual authority for her, is trying to look at what a series of options look like. Is the option only one day a week? Is the option maybe expanded services for only certain times of the year? This is what maybe twice a week would look like. And again, she's going to scrutinize all the numbers and wants to make sure that all of it makes sense for people and that they know what they're getting in return.
And let me take a break. I want to talk about the sewage and water board reimbursement when we come back because I'm a little bit confused. Joe Geruso, our guest, New Orleans City Council member, 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. All right, 757, 3 till 8, couple of minutes left with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. I see this thing about the sewage and water board reimbursing the city. You would think that the city and the sewage and water board are one and the same, but they are not. Is that the way it goes, Joe?
That is the way it goes. Technically, it's hard, Tommy, because Sewage and Water Board is a state entity. And obviously, the city of New Orleans is separate. But the mayor is the president of the Sewage and Water Board and obviously oversees Department of Public Works. So there is a lot of bleed over.
So it would seem to me, again, this goes back to everybody having a hand in it, but nobody being responsible for anything. First of all, how much is the city owed by the state entity, the Sewage and Water Board, but that money came from people who are Sewage and Water Board customers? Take me through that. Or is it state money?
It's a combination of things. So the receivable is about $85 million. And we actually met this week in a room, and I think we've gotten pretty close to a solution on all of this. There's about, Tommy, $30 million, which is roughly reimbursements for FEMA work, and some of that money is already in. Some of that money is going to come in, hopefully the majority of it before the end of the year. So that would solve a big chunk of it. And then there's two other portions. One is related to water, and the Sewage and Water Board simply doesn't have $37 million to pay the city back, but they're going to offset the work with other work. which is fine in my view, because even if it's not cash, it's basically repayment in kind. Mm-hmm. And then they're owed the city about another $13 million for road work. And what we think we're going to do with that is take traffic camera revenue, and then essentially Sewage and Water Board would pledge that back to the city. So that's a little bit complicated explaining it, but the bottom line is we had a good meeting. Everybody talked through this. We have a path for paying things back and moving forward and memorializing these things
so
they don't get lost between administration and
this is money that the city fronted to the Sewage and Water Board?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So they're saying, well, we don't have the cash, which would beg the question, what happened to the cash? But okay. So in turn, they're going to, instead of returning, repaying the cash, they're going to basically do the work. Is that what I'm hearing?
They're going to do both. They're going to return some cash because that comes back from the state. And then on other things, they're going to do the work.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. We don't talk to you. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll come back, talk to Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about food insecurity. Then we'll talk to Daniel Rosas, an immigration attorney, about what's your obligation if you're stopped by Border Patrol. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Plus, you can text us at 504-260-1870. What, in your opinion, makes somebody a jerk? Still some fog in the area, so be aware of that. 8:13 on this Thursday morning, November 20th. Dr. B joins us, our friend, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy. I'm doing good. How about you?
I am okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us this morning. Nearly 1 in 6 people in Louisiana are food insecure. That's over 800,000 people, more than the populations of Shreveport, Monroe, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans combined. Dr. B is going to talk about food insecurity and how you can make a difference during this holiday season. First of all, Doc, what is food insecurity?
Yeah, Tommy, that's a huge number, and food insecurity affects a lot of people. It really just means that you don't have enough food to live an active and healthy life. And, you know, for some, that might mean skipping some meals or eating smaller portions to make it last longer. For some, it might be consistently eating meals with no variety and really few nutrients that you really need. And sometimes food insecurity can be temporary. You know, it might be caused by sudden changes in your life, maybe a layoff or a natural disaster. But sometimes it can be real chronic, and, you know, meaning it lasts a long time. And that chronic insecurity is often related to poverty, homelessness, or other serious problems.
What kind of problems, Doug?
Well, you know, we often hear food security as an individual problem. You know, some people say it's the result of poor personal choices, but all the research shows that that is not true. You know, according to Feeding America, the food insecurity is more closely related to really complex factors, things like low-paying jobs, lack of affordable housing, racism and other forms of discrimination can come into play. And then what everybody's experiencing, this rising cost of groceries, childcare, and utilities as well.
Is there a group that's more impacted by food insecurity than others?
Yeah, you know, here in Louisiana, it typically does affect communities of color and in particular rural communities, and we have a lot of those. They have high rates of food insecurity, and it's related to those factors we were just talking about, as well as the number of food deserts that are here in our state.
Yeah, food deserts, different spelling, food desert, something completely different. What is a food desert?
Yeah, so a food desert is any place in the state where it's hard to get affordable and nutritious food. And often you find this in rural places or maybe low-income areas where they just don't have a full-service grocery. And so sometimes the most accessible options for food are things like convenience stores or corner stores, maybe fast food restaurants, and those often have higher prices and a lot less variety than a traditional supermarket would be. And though some people who live in food deserts can travel to a place where they can actually shop at a supermarket, that's going to require a lot of gas, reliable transportation, and a lot of people just don't have that.
Who else might be commonly impacted by food insecurity?
Yeah, in particular, older adults have a much higher rate of food insecurity, especially here in Louisiana. And across the state, actually, 13% of people that are over the age of 60 often struggle to just put food on the table. And in the New Orleans and Metairie areas, that number is even higher, closer to 15%. And, you know, there's a couple of reasons for that. Older adults, a lot of times, are on a fixed income. They're probably paying high health care costs as well. So they just don't have as much, you know, money to pay for food. And older adults can live alone, so they have less support. They may have, you know, no transportation or no reliable transportation. So it's going to make it real hard to get to a grocery store or a food pantry.
I know food insecurity can affect health in an adverse way. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, it absolutely affects health. And you know, hunger and health are very connected. And people who are food insecure are going to be more likely to develop some of those long-lasting health conditions we talk about, diabetes and heart disease. They can also suffer from depression because of that food insecurity. And because of that, they tend to have higher health care costs and sometimes even more frequent hospital stays, which makes the situation worse.
Why is that?
So when you eat a nutrient-rich diet, that really fuels your body. It can boost your immunity. It's going to strengthen your heart, bones, and muscles. And if you don't have consistent access to those healthy foods, you're just not going to get any of those health benefits. And people who are food insecure, you know, typically have a limited budget. So sometimes they have to make really tough decisions. They may have to choose between buying food or maybe buying their medications, which we know can be very expensive. And both of those options can have a lot of serious consequences.
We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk about how people's health is helping to combat hunger this holiday season. But before we do that, doctor, as a physician, talk about how, if you will, people can be overweight but be malnourished all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you may think people that are overweight have access to plenty of food, but is it good food? Is it the right type of food? And so a lot of times people with obesity are eating things that are not as good for them, and that's why they are heavier, but it does not mean they're healthy.
So they could actually be eating things just to have something to eat that are making them sicker and making them more overweight. And from an outside appearance, it would be, well, what, you're not hungry? What do you mean you're hungry? Look at you, you're overweight. But the fact of the matter is you're not getting the proper nutrition.
Yeah, it's not good for you, food. It may just be whatever you can access wherever you are that's close by. And just like you said, if it's not nutritious, that actually is going to lead to a higher disease burden and probably additional cost in the healthcare system.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to Dr. Brent Wallace, Dr. B, our friend, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. Nearly one in six people in Louisiana are food insecure. That's over 800,000 people. And if you add it up, it's more than the populations of Shreveport, Monroe, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans combined. We'll talk about what People's Health is doing to help fight that when we come back. Right now, we pause for traffic 30 seconds early here on WWL. 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. B, our friend, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, talking about food insecurity. Nearly one in six people in Louisiana are food insecure. Over 800,000 more than the populations of Shreveport, Monroe, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans combined. Doc, what is People's Health doing to combat hunger during this holiday season?
Yeah, so we serve about 150,000.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW. Earth Place to the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people with Medicare, and a lot of those individuals are older adults, and now we know a lot of those adults have food insecurity. So, you know, we're looking for ways to invest in the communities that we serve, and the holiday season is a really great time to do this. And this year we are hosting community meals for the local councils on aging. We're really hoping it provides an opportunity for those seniors to come together, connect over a festive meal.
How can listeners combat hunger or help in the effort to combat hunger?
Yeah, there's a whole lot you can do. And one of the biggest things is support your local food bank. And a lot of people don't realize, but cash donations are usually preferred to the food banks because they have access to bulk pricing and manufacturer discount programs. In fact, the Food Bank of Northwest Louisiana says that about a $1 donation allows it to distribute about $10 worth of food. Mm-hmm. So it can really go a long way. If you prefer to donate food items, there's a lot of things you can do, but keep in mind they need to be non-perishable in general. So things like proteins, peanut butter, canned fish, grains, make sure you choose brown rice and whole grain pasta. That's healthier. You know, lentils or canned beans are really good. And then if you do produce, it needs to be dried or canned fruits and vegetables.
How else can people give back?
So you can really make a difference in your individual community by doing something simple like stocking a community fridge. And if you go online, you can actually find those refrigerators all over town. You can actually donate eggs and milk and some more perishable vegetables and fruits to those centers. And, you know, look for community gardens, too, that are growing fresh fruits and vegetables that can be distributed to the people. Donate to a school food pantry or, you know, something really simple. Look in your own neighborhood. There may be a neighbor you have that doesn't have transportation and can't get to the grocery store. Tell them that you'll go shop for them. That can be really, really meaningful right by your home.
And how can people get food assistance if they're on the other side of it and need it and can't help?
Yeah, if you're not sure where to start, really the best place is to call the National Hunger Hotline, and it's 1-866-3-HUNGRY. A representative there is going to help you find all of these local meal sites, food banks, and give you any information you need. There's a lot of resources available online as well. There's a website called feedinglouisiana.org that will show you all the programs and organizations we have in our areas.
And now that we've talked about physical health, real quick word about mental health in this holiday season, maybe checking on your neighbors or some loved ones, Doc, to make sure they're okay?
Yeah, it's really important. You know, this time of year, people can get depressed about the holidays, especially if they've lost loved ones. So it really is important that, you know, you're walking around, you're checking on your neighbors, you're reaching out and calling people, because that little bit of contact can really make a difference to people during the holiday season.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, you and your family, and Remy the boxer.
Thanks, Tommy.
Don't forget about him. All right, thank you. Y'all can find out more about People's Health. The Medicare open enrollment runs until December 7th. You can visit the People's Health Medicare Center in Metairie, 3017 Vets. It's located between North Causeway Boulevard and Trader Joe's. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome, and they'll walk you through the entire process. You can go to peopleshealth.com or you can call them at 1-800-978-9765. 8:30 on a button for that. Time now, rather. We go to WWL First News, and with that, Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Daniel Rosas, an immigration attorney, about your rights and what your obligations are if you are stopped by Border Patrol, because we understand they could be here as early as Friday. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It's David Rosas.
What'd I say?
Daniel, it's okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what he told me that. Let me fix that right now, David.
That's yeah. Right. Yep, there you go.
Taking the time to be with us. Let me get some liquid guest sheet out here and fix that up. David, no, I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right, kidding. Yeah, no big deal.
David Rosas. No, it is a big deal. It's your name. Let's talk about if you are stopped by ICE in public, what are your responsibilities and what are your rights? Because, you know, it kind of goes both ways, right? I guess however you want to present this, sir, it's up to you because you know how to best present the material.
I mean, the reality is that every single person on the in this great country of ours has a right to remain silent, right? And so immigrants as well as U.S. citizens do not have to answer any questions. They don't have to reveal any type of immigration status. They don't have to sign any papers. They can simply exercise their right to remain silent.
All right. What about the actual interaction itself with the Border Patrol agent? Should you say you have the right to remain silent, but do you have to answer questions or not?
No. I mean, it's the whole point about Miranda warnings that apply to every single human being under the U.S. Supreme Court. And it basically states that you have a right to remain silent. You have a right to ask for an attorney. You don't have to, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to confirm anything. You don't have to show anything. That's not a requirement. Now, you know, ICE may continue to investigate further if they believe that there's a suspect of a crime, you know, and that's basically what it is. But, you know, ICE, the Customs Border Patrol, this whole move, in my opinion, is not, it's a humanitarian crisis. And so I just think that people need to remember their rights, obviously, but I think also the public should be very aware that these are people who have rebuilt New Orleans, you know. These are people who have been here, part of our community, long-term ties, who we've relied on to rebuild the throughout Louisiana after, you know, a number of four or five hurricanes in the last 20 years.
I know people that are olive-skinned that are concerned about this because they're concerned that they're going to be stopped or detained, and they want to make sure that they have the necessary identification on them. Are you forced to show identification if asked?
No, but the reality is that legal permanent residents in the United States are required to carry their legal permanent resident card. That is law. Okay. That is actual federal law that they are required to carry that identification. Again, though, I don't think that trumps, your right to remain silent against unreasonable search and seizure. You know, and so in that Fourth Amendment and your Miranda rights, I think that trumps all of these requirements. You have a right to remain silent. You have a right to ask to speak to an attorney. You do not have to notify them of your immigration status. None of that's required. You don't have to say one word.
Should you ask if you're free to leave or not?
Yes. I mean, the reality is that unless they're detaining you, you are free to leave. You know, they're going to have to stop you and detain you and handcuff you based on whatever they're suspecting. I don't know how they're stopping anyone but for the color of their skin.
So who has to carry identification? I'm a little bit confused about that.
So legal permanent residents, those are green card holders. It is someone who, let's say, married a U.S. citizen while they were on a tourist visa, or they came over because their spouse petitioned for them to live in the United States. They are not yet citizens. They are residents. And basically, they could stay residents for the rest of their life in the United States, and it's renewed every 10 years. They are required to carry that identification on them. It's an actual green card. It's called, you know, the age-old green card. That's a legal permanent residency card. They're required. It's part of the requirements under federal law to carry that green card on them.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to David Rosas, an immigration attorney, about what you can expect once Border Patrol starts stopping people, or if you are stopped by Border Patrol. And I have heard from people who are of olive skin or maybe kind of look like they could be from somewhere else being stopped and or maybe even being detained. If you have any questions or comments, text them in the 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along. We come back 851, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Doc, back with David Rosas, an immigration attorney. Somebody texted in and said, is there a difference between immigration violation and constitutional rights or violation of criminal statutes and constitutional rights? I guess basically the question is, if you're being investigated for immigration violation only, are your constitutional rights limited?
No, not at all. Your constitutional rights are not limited. In fact, they trump every single other law of the land. You know, you have a right to remain silent. You have a right to not say anything. You have a right to an attorney. You have all of those things, you know. I mean, the universal principle is remain silent is not a guilty person's right. It's every single person's right, citizens, residents, you know, and immigrants.
So
I mean, most – go ahead.
Well,
you know, we ask Americans, you know, no American would want to surrender their own constitutional rights just because they have nothing to hide, right? I mean, the reality is every single person in the United States, whether they are undocumented, whether they are a non-immigrant, whether they are a visiting person, whether they're a citizen or simply a resident, they fall under the same constitutional protections.
Somebody texted in and said, what about the difference with a work permit? Is that different than what you were talking about earlier? Because I know immigration law can get complicated.
Work permit is just someone who's permitted to work here. And a lot of times that might even be people who are fleeing violence, you know, who someone who is applying for asylum is entitled to a work permit while they're here pending their process. Also, people get work permits because they may be sponsored, like a doctor who comes from a different country. That's on an H-1B, for example. Those are different. Legal permanent residents are people who can remain here for the rest of their life and aren't required to have a work permit. They're a resident like a citizen, except they can't vote.
Somebody says, texted in and said, if you choose to remain silent, is there a likelihood that you're going to be taken into custody?
You know, and that's really the question that the age-old question is what happens when you exercise your constitutional right? Does that then mean that you're guilty? It doesn't. That doesn't mean that they may not arrest you, you know, but the reality is what evidence are they arresting you on? And this is something that we've been challenging over the past year, is these warrantless arrests based solely on what suspicion? The fact that they don't speak the language, the fact that they have different skin color. Those are the issues that we're playing out in the federal courts.
Any final thoughts?
You know, I just want everyone to remember, just anyone who's listening, this is a humanitarian crisis that's been politicized. And in my opinion, we cannot forget who rebuilt this city, who rebuilt this state. There's many, many, many minorities who did this, and a lot of them were immigrants.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. David Rosas, an immigration attorney. We're going to come back, talk to Michelle Johnson, Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of The Seismic Shift in You. She got a new book out. It's going to be very interesting when we return. And thanks to all y'all that texted in at 504-260-1870. We'll have another one for you tomorrow. Michelle Johnson joins us now, our friend, the Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of The Seismic Shift in You. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and you have a new book out, don't you?
I do. It's super exciting. We're throwing the book launch party tonight.
And what is the name of the book?
The Seismic Shift in You.
I knew that. I was just kidding around. Tell me what the previous book was.
Yeah, so you and I have had some really interesting conversations about the previous book, The Seismic Shift in Leadership. This one is The Seismic Shift in You. It's to all humans. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So my co-author, Marshall Goldsmith, and I, 2 years ago, were at the Thinkers 50 Awards in London, And that's the Oscars of my field, the Oscars, the top thinkers in management. And so we're listening to all of the top thinkers, and they're all talking about AI, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're all talking about. And what's happening is that's a huge seismic shift, is we're becoming even more codependent on technology and automation in our phones, which is causing even more disconnection. And disconnection is literally killing us, and I'm not exaggerating. And so we wrote this book to try to help so that we can lean in more with connection to combat this loneliness, isolation, and disconnection that we're in. It's an epidemic that we're in.
How important is connection? Not just in terms of management and leadership, but in terms of from individual health.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It's an imperative. It is the same as eating and drinking water. We need connection. We are wired for connection. We need it to survive. And so if we don't have connection, it creates this chronic stress, which is why we're seeing Dr. Vivek Murthy, our former U.S. Surgeon General, keeps putting out updates, report after report. He just revised his recent report and sent a letter to the World Health Organization and say we have to do things differently because disconnection is literally killing us. It is the same as smoking. Get this, smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That's shocking in a way.
Correct. That's why I wrote this book. It was shocking how the dark path that we're going on, how bad it is for us physically and mentally. So if we all say, you know, what do you want out of life? I want to live a happy and healthy life. Well, the only way you're going to do it seriously right now is by developing a different muscle. And that's what this book is about. The seismic shift in you is about developing this different muscle, going from transaction as humans, not just as leaders. But this is a book about us as humans going from this transactional mindset from what do I need to accomplish every day, that productivity, 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 results, results, and switching that mindset. Who do I get to interact with every day? Who do I get to work with every day? Because the who is more important than the what.
It would seem as though we're genetically wired to be social and not antisocial.
We are genetically wired. We desire it. We need it like food and water. And what's happening with technology, Tommy, which is so terrifying, is that we also now need technology. We do. We are addicted. It's not a good thing, but we now are codependent with our phones. If any of you listeners have left your phone in an Uber or lost your phone, got your phone stolen, you know how it feels like.
Doc, I went through it on Sunday and was on the way to a Pelicans game. I did, and realized that I didn't have the phone, and I had left it somewhere. I've come to find out it was on a damn lawnmower from cutting the grass and listening to music. I didn't realize it, but I realized I didn't have a ticket to the Pelicans game, and I felt so I had to email people from the desktop computer because I had no other way to reach out to people. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It feels like you've lost your life. Like, how do I do anything? So that's not going to change, this codependency that we have with our phones, and AI is only going to make it worse, although AI has many, many benefits. I'm not saying it's all bad. It's just creating this codependency with our phones, right? So the more codependency we have with our phones, the more we're kind of isolating ourselves, and we're not leaning in with connection. So we've conducted surveys on connection. And we're finding, and I teach at Loyola, and my wonderful leadership students are going to be at the book launch party tonight, and they will be the first to tell you that college campuses are different these days. They don't know the difference, but they say, we all just sit around with our earbuds in our ears. We don't talk. So you go through, and everyone, you go through campus, and people aren't talking as much as they used to. The college cafeteria that you and I are used to that's bustling, people are sitting there, And they're doing their own thing on their own phones, scrolling through social media, thinking that's connection, and yet that causes us to be anxious and depressed. So that's the dark path we're heading on, and that's why we've got to shift. We've got to shift our mindset from that isolation and doing it alone. Here's something that jumped out at me when I was walking my dog yesterday, is productivity without connection equals emptiness. And my co-author, Marshall Goldsmith, I'm so honored that he wrote this book with me. We just launched it in London. We went back to Thinkers 50, where the book originated, the idea originated, and we launched it, a successful launch. And what I'm worried about is he and I are also executive coaches, and he's the number one executive coach in the world. So the stories that he has, Tommy, without naming names, of the highest ranking, most successful leaders that you've heard of reach the very top because they were so productive and they achieved everything and they feel empty because what they've done. And even Dr. Vivek Murthy, our U.S. Surgeon General, former, even he said that on his way to the top, he got to the top and realized, but I neglected the most important relationships in my life.
So when you say the cafeteria that you and I were used to, I graduated in 2023, so I'm not quite sure, Michelle, what you're talking about.
That was good.
It's not that I'm young. It's just that I'm stupid. It took me 35 years to get through college. No, I'm just kidding. Tell me the story about when you first started teaching, because I think that was a pretty interesting insight into yourself.
Oh, my gosh. You mean when I was a jerk?
Yeah. There you go. When you were a jerk. That's right.
That kind of goes with your survey you were just talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I thought that success was all powerful, that you had to be super powerful and totally command and control and in order to be successful, professor. And so I would go into the classroom, and I made no attempts to connect with my students. I was supposed to be the all-knowing professor, and I marched in. I didn't march in, but I probably looked like I marched in, and I lectured for hours. And I said, are there any questions? And there weren't, of course. And then I left and I kept my personal life personal and then my professional. And guess what? It doesn't work, right? I wasn't a real human. I didn't do anything to connect with students. And now what I do is I create community in the classroom. We sit around a conference table. I'm sure my students, there are times, and I tease them about it. I'm like, it's 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And I know you don't want to be here, but I'm putting you into groups and you're going to go deep with listening. You're going to get to know each other's stories. I'm going to teach you how to ask great questions, how to be more empathetic. Stop trying to be the most interesting person in the room. Be the most interested. So I'm trying to teach these students how to actually talk to each other again and show interest in another. So there's been a big shift in my teaching. And something that I've noticed throughout the years, Tommy, do you remember when you'd walk into a college classroom years ago and everybody would be talking? No one is
really
talking. They sit by themselves with their earbuds in and they're on their phones. No one talks to one another.
You want to hear a funny story? Diane Newman, the boss here who runs everything, who is the backbone of WWL, recounted a story to me the other day. Apparently, she and I had a media law class together at UNO, and I was talking before class about how she and her sister were busting the curve for everybody because they studied so hard and they were getting such good grades. And that just shocks me that she would remember, and I remembered when she brought it up, I didn't know it was about her that I was speaking. I remembered the story that she would remember that, and I would remember years later when now they're not even talking. So there would be nothing to remember the next day because there's nothing being said.
Correct. That is exactly right. So again, this is a major shift. It's a major shift for students to learn how to actually lean in and get to know one another and show that you care and talk. And it's a major shift for leaders and companies to say, okay, that transactional model, like I had shared with you, that I thought it was all about power and having all the right answers and not really creating connection with the students that I was working with. A lot of leaders still have that kind of jerky mindset. And I hate to call it a jerk boss. I have great empathy for them because I was one. Mm-hmm. But we've got to do it differently. We can't just go in and say, just do what I tell you to do. You know, don't ask any questions. Your paycheck is your reward. Those days are over.
Tell me how you, and I think this is interesting, how you found out that you were not getting it done as a professor in the classroom.
But
there's a point behind this, Michelle. There's a point because it goes to humility and recognizing, I think if you're going to have a seismic shift in you, you're going to have to recognize that you have faults, right?
Gosh, you just made me think of something that's really important here. Yes, so what you're referring to are faculty evaluations. And when I was a very young professor leading with power, all power, and no connection, The dean told me, look, I want you to be here. You're in a tenure track position. In order to get tenured, you need to have high faculty evaluations. And I would open up these student evaluations every semester, and I'd have tears rolling down my cheeks because they were very bad. Mm. I mean, they thought I was a B-I-T-C-H. Mm. And you know what? I don't blame them. I look back, and I wasn't myself. It didn't seem like I cared about them, right? I wasn't making connections. So I just had this aha moment when you said that, because I think that for leaders to change, there has to be something in front of their face that shows them that what they're doing is no longer effective. And so faculty evaluations were those things that gave me a wake-up call. I conduct 360 feedback reports for any leader that I coach, and typically it's those reports of how they're perceived by their boss, by their teammates, by their direct reports, that's what causes them to change.
All right, the book is The Seismic Shift in You, newest one from Michelle Johnson, Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University. We'll talk about 7 seismic shifts when we come back. If you got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. But it is interesting that they don't even talk in college classrooms anymore before, because half the fun was talking about each other or the professor, right? We'll be back, WWL. We are talking to Dr. Michelle Johnson, the Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of a couple of different books. The newest one is The Seismic Shift in You, and it talks about connection. And you mentioned Dr. Johnson being a coach. I'm just wondering, do you ever scout yourself? You know, because teams do that, right? They scout themselves to see if they have any tendencies or not. Do you ever do that?
Oh, you're good, Tommy. That was a good question. Yeah, you have to, you know, in order to be an effective leader, you have to be self-aware. How in the world are you self-aware unless you really do a deep dive into what's working and what's not working? It's interesting you just asked that, because we're about to go into the 7 shifts, and I have a personal story about one of those shifts that I'll share with you in a second.
Well, let's get to it.
Okay, so you had mentioned the title of the book is The Seismic Shift in You, and I've got 7 shifts that we can make as humans so that we can do a better job with connections, so it's not like we're smoking 15 cigarettes a day, so that we're healthier, happier, right? So the first shift, as I talked about, is this connection mind shift. And I coach this wonderful leader, Pete November, and he's the CEO of Ochsner Health. And he and I talk about this shift from transaction to connection. And he talks about this a lot. He said, you know, he said, I need my leaders to be inspirational. I need them to have a connection first mindset. And he said, and that takes, you have to strengthen this new muscle. We're so programmed to go after the results, results, results. What do I have to do? On to the next thing. And instead have, who do I get to work with today? Mm-hmm. So again, going from what to who, that's the first major shift. So the second shift that I was just referring to that I had to scout myself and figure it out, the second shift is a shift in priorities. And I hit burnout about 2 summers ago, probably when you and I were having a lot of conversations. After my first book became an Amazon bestseller, mm-hmm. I had this incredible opportunity to what I felt to really make a difference in the world. And so I said yes to everything and everyone. If it was Vietnam on a podcast and I had to wake up at 4 a.m., yes. Mm. If it was flying, you know, on an overnight or a red eye so I could give a talk in San Diego with Don McGuire and the Qualcomm team, yes, I did whatever it took to help as many people as possible. So I prioritized everybody else, but I didn't prioritize myself. Mm-hmm. And so I did end up experiencing that quote that I shared with you, that productivity, right, that you end up experiencing burnout when you're not nurturing yourself.
So wait, I got to shift in priorities. Michelle, I got to ask, yes. I got to ask then, if you could go back, would you do it differently?
I would have to. I mean, I was no fun. Tommy, I remember being, it was July 4th.
You no fun?
On the beach.
Come on.
And I was zero fun. I couldn't even laugh. I was empty. Mm. I mean, my tank was empty. And that was the biggest wake up. It was right before I was taking a year sabbatical at Loyola to write this book. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there staring at this gorgeous ocean and this gorgeous sand. And I'm completely empty. And that's when I knew what the second chapter had to be about. in order to be a great connector with everyone else, you have to prioritize yourself first. Mm. And what I realized is I was nowhere on my calendar. I had taken any sort of good thing for me, my morning exercise routine, gone because I was on podcasts every morning. My pickleball Tuesday nights, gone because I committed to do XYZ. When my daughter came home, this was the biggest wake-up call. And it's embarrassing, but I'm going to be honest with you all and admit it. She came home from Christmas from college, and she said, "Mom, I've been home for 2 weeks, and I've barely seen you." Mm. Tommy, that's my number one priority in life, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't even figure out how to adjust my calendar to focus on her because I had just lost my way. I thought by saying yes to everything and everyone was the answer, but you have to prioritize yourself first and hold the things that fuel you sacred. So that's the second shift.
I know we're running out of time here, and I want people to get the book and read it about the seismic shift in you and the seven seismic shifts. But I want to jump ahead to shift your language because it has a lot to do with communicating with yourself, right?
My goodness, yes. You have done your prep work, yes.
Well, read the book. I enjoy reading your stuff.
I sent you a copy, Tommy Tucker.
Well, I read
it. Thank you for reading it. Thank you for
reading it. As far as that fun in your life, you need more Tucker in your life. That's your problem.
I need my Tommy Tucker.
Yeah.
Shifting your language is so important because we end up using words and how we talk to ourselves that affects how we interact with the world. So if we're beating ourselves up, I'll give you an example that I write about in the book that I'm sure you appreciate it. Is I have this pandemic dog, right, that all of us got. Most of us got in lockdown. So I have this lockdown dog. And I'm running out the door to give a big presentation downtown. And so I take off my heels and I put on the frumpiest shoes you've ever seen. I walk my dog around the park and around the neighborhood. I come back, race down, about to go on stage, and I look down. I said, "You've got to be kidding me. I've got the frumpiest shoes on. I forgot to put my beautiful heels on that you wear when you're on stage, right?" And so the old Michelle that we talked about that thought that she had to be perfect and all powerful and all the answers, I would have beaten myself up, and I would have said, "How in the world did you forget that you're about to go on stage, Michelle?" But because I've done a lot of self-reflection and a lot of work, I realized it doesn't matter. Okay, I can make a joke out of it. I go up on stage, I was like, "How you like these frumpy flats? Are they working for you?" Right? You make a joke out of it because guess what? Your energy is palpable. So if I had been speaking with language that beat myself up, that would have been felt in the audience, and they were like, "This woman's no fun. Why am I going to listen to her?" Instead, you get up there, you let it go, you make a joke out of it, and it's all good. So language, how you talk to yourself, affects how you interact with the world, and it affects how your energy is contagious. And we all need to do a better job with energy.
I think the book is awesome. It's an enjoyable read, a fun read. It's called The Seismic Shift in You. And is it out already, Michelle, or not? Or did I get an advance copy?
So it's on pre-order, yep, and you can pre-order it on Amazon, and then I'll be in New York City for a big launch week on December the 2nd, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Don't forget,
we need a seismic shift right now.
Don't forget your heels.
I won't.
All right.
Thank you, Tommy.
See you soon. All right, thank you, Dr. Michelle Johnson, Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of The Seismic Shift in You. We'll talk Pelicans. We come back, 9:37, traffic, WWL. WWL's your home for the New Orleans Pelicans. Pels taking on the Mavericks tomorrow night in Dallas. You can catch all the excitement on the Big 870 WWL AM pregame 6:30. Tip off at 7. Ollie Cosell joins us right now to talk about the Pelicans, a credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pels. How you doing, Ollie?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about Pels post Willie Green.
Yeah, so everybody kind of saw the writing on the wall. Willie Green came into a season where the team previously had won 21 games, lost 61. Talk of losing the locker room a little bit, not getting through to the players. And that really showed up again into this season. You were hoping that would have been wipes, you know, the slate wiped clean because you brought in a new general manager. You changed a lot of voices in that locker room, right? But it didn't. And so you had to move on from him because this team has more talent than what it has shown. I know that they haven't won a game yet under James Borrego, but the feeling is when you've got Zion Williamson, and you've got other veterans like Trey Murphy Herb Jones. You should be able to win even though you're playing a lot of rookies. And so move, of course, had to be made.
But they had the schedule post-Willie Green has been pretty tough as well.
It has.
So
yeah, there's no doubt about that, Tommy. Look, seven of the first 10 games were on the road. And then when you combine that with the fact that almost every single competitor that's come in here or the Pelicans have traveled to is a playoff caliber type of team, right? There hasn't been a lot of cupcakes, so to speak. And of course, that adds to it.
Tell me about Zion. He was back?
Yeah, Zion missed 8 games due to a very light hamstring strain. And unfortunately, that's what's plagued his career so far, right? Hamstring strains, those soft tissue muscle kind of problems. And you would have thought, well, hopefully you would have thought he'd spend an entire offseason getting to the lightest weight he's ever played at. So the conditioning was there. So maybe he was able to move past these problems. Well, unfortunately, he has not. But he is back. And it wasn't anything severe. But he has to be able to make it through a season, right? Mm-hmm. Teams today, Tommy, what separates, you know, good teams from bad teams, at least what starts to separate them, the fact that you have the availability of your stars. You have to have your best player available. I mean, just look at what's happening with the Clippers right now because they've been without Kawhi Leonard. Look at the Dallas Mavericks, right? No Kyrie Irving. Anthony Davis has barely played. So Zion somehow has to be on the court, and that's been the biggest issue. He's played, I believe, in about 40% of his potential games, regular season games, since he suited up here in New Orleans, and that's got to change.
How important is it that both Zion and Derek Queen are on a court at the same time and for a lengthy amount of time?
Yeah. Look, you have to find something positive in this season that's really gone awry. And one thing that's really standing out is the rookies. I remember 5 years ago we were talking about Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado as being the best draft class the Pelicans will probably ever have. Mm-hmm. But we were wrong. It certainly looks like this last draft class is already on the way of overtaking that group. Jeremiah Fears has looked very good, became a starter third game. Derek Queen, he is almost seemingly like a revelation. Last night's game, for anybody that tuned in against the Denver Nuggets, he looked just like Nikola Jokic, right? An offensive hub at the center position. Mm-hmm. And when you can build around a center like that, it makes the game a lot easier because you look at what Houston's doing with Alperen Sengun. So what you want to see with these young guys is the development to continue because this is very promising. That's by far the best thing that's transpired so far this season. But you want to see it work in conjunction with Zion Williamson. I think that's what they're going to spend at least the next few months before the trade deadline to see if Zion can play with Derek Queen, right? Because on paper, you're not sure the fit is there because neither one shoots the ball particularly well from, say, beyond the free throw line. They're both kind of undersized, right? They're not these 7'2" behemoths, neither one, not a defensive stalwart. But the numbers so far say that they do work together. So we'll have to see how that works out.
What has you most optimistic so far?
Yeah, it's the rookies. I didn't even mention Micah Peavy, but honestly, Jeremiah Fears looks like, and combined with Derek Queen, they look like they could be something similar to Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets, right? A guard that's very offensively minded, can get his shot at any point in Fears. And then, of course, Derek Queen. Like I said, you need an offensive hub, especially for a team that you've got players that don't like to create their own shot, like Trey Murphy. The reason I think he struggles sometimes is because he's better when somebody sets him up. So Queen seems to be that perfect fit. So that's really what you're hanging your hat on.
And the future of the Pelicans in New Orleans kind of looks pretty good after what Ms. Benson had to say.
Yeah, look, I mean, you needed to hear that because when you combine with what, you know, the season they had last year, and also with the Saints floundering, fans are upset, right? And this is when national media likes to latch on, pick on the teams that are towards the bottom, you know, and there's supposedly going to be a couple of openings. You know, Las Vegas is one. They're saying Seattle the other. And so instead of maybe creating new teams, maybe some teams will be available for relocation. So you needed to hear that.
Any final thoughts, Ollie?
Tommy, what you want to see, honestly, is just to find some footing. Because like I said, this team's better than it's shown. And I think with James Borrego coming on board, I like the voice. He's a very much different type of coach. He's a lot louder. He's a lot more transparent than Willie Green. And I think these players will react to him. Their effort level's already up.
They're really starting to take adherence to his concepts, whereas under Willie, we really saw no identity. So you just want to see that continue, get some wins, because you don't have your first-round draft pick next year. And if you do that, you're well on your way to having your next young core, potentially two stars here in Fears and Queen.
At what point would it be realistic to start talking about some names as the new Pels' permanent head coach? At what point, and what would those names be?
Well, fortunately, it sounds like James Borrego is going to at least be given the chance to audition for the rest of the season. And I think that's smart, simply because he's been around this team. So if anybody knows this group, it's him. Plus, he's an offensively minded type of coach. He was known for what he did on that side of the ball in Charlotte. And that's what this group needs, I feel like. Under Willie Green, it was always more defensively minded when they had success. But in today's game, you need a lot of more offense. And I don't think Willie was ever able to squeeze that juice, so to speak. So James Borrego fits that bill. And I'm glad, like I said, that he's going to be given that chance, because he's a smart guy and he's a proven guy with these players. You bring in somebody else, you have no idea how it would work.
Thank you, Ollie. A pleasure as always. Ollie Costell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Taking a break. Come back. Talking to Newell Normand here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.